hello, and welcome once again to Crazy Comics and Stories. It's me, your charming and delightful old Uncle Rap Bastard. And at the other end of the series of tubes and wires we call the internets is Joe Crazy Rider. How you doing today, Joe?
Happy New Year.
You haven't sobered up yet?
I'm feeling much better now.
Joe, you do realize that New Year's was, hold on.
Yeah, I thought if I just...
Let me do the math. Carry the four. 5 days ago!
Well, that explains why these chips are so stale.
Well, when you soak them in vodka, they get stale.
I didn't dry them out again. I'm telling you, weak bladders and efficient kidneys are not a good combination on New Year's. I'm feeling much better now.
So do you have any New Year's Eve traditions?
Yeah, I usually watch everybody fall asleep and heckle Dick Clark.
That's going to be hard this year.
Yeah.
Will they have hologram Dick Clark?
I don't know. That'd be a good action figure. You know, that's the one action figure they hadn't made in Star Wars yet. The Weird Al singing figure.
Well, did they ever come out with action figures from the characters from Troops?
Starship Troopers?
No. We watched it at the shop, the parody of Star Wars that looks like cops called Troops.
You know, it's possible.
Where we find out how Uncle Owen and Aunt Beru died.
You know, it's possible because they did come out with some of the figures from the holiday special. So, you know, if Disney can make a buck out of it, by God, they're going to do it.
I can't remember. It might have even been you who said that everything that was on TV or the movies was canon.
Yeah.
Which means that B. Arthur and Harvey Korman are official Star Wars characters.
Yep. Stranger things have happened, I'm telling you. God, those chips were pretty good. I just think I'll have a few more of them here.
When I messaged you today, didn't even think that we could be recording, I told you I think I have figured out why I don't like the new 52. What the problem is with the new 52. I have figured it out.
Just one? I mean, oh, what is it?
Bueno Excellente is not a character in the new 52.
And it makes the 52 better.
No, it makes it worse.
I don't know.
But to go from the joke to kind of the more, one of the things DC had that I loved were all these weird, obscure characters like Buona Beast and Angel and the Ape. And, well, before he got a series by Grant Morrison, Animal Man, Dolphin, Black Orchid. There were all these weird, obscure characters. Not anymore. They're all gone.
Yeah, no more Beator.
No more Beator. No more Section 8 at all. No more Gunfire, the guy who anything he picked up became a gun. Which led to one of my favorite jokes in Hitman, where Hitman grabbed his hands and slapped him on his own ass. But you need those weird, obscure characters in your superhero universe. You need your Squirrel Girls.
Oh, hang on a second. I got something important here I got to take care of. Hey, Holly.
Toilet.
White Castle's unveiling veggie burgers tomorrow. You want to go?
Oh,
no?
God.
Oh, jeez. These kids these days. Are fancy.
I can't even imagine how horrible
Burger King burgers.
I can't even imagine how horrible White Castle veggie burgers would be.
Well, it's like back before Holly decided to be a vegetarian, she liked to go to Popeyes a lot. And so I thought, well, why not? It was a stupid summer afternoon. So I went to Popeye's and got her chicken. And then I ran through White Castle and I got my normal number one with cheese. And then I got one extra burger.
You got your normal 20 pack?
Yum. But with cheese, because I don't want it just slipping through me. Sliders, that is. Anyways, I got her one extra
burger. I
love
the fact that we used to make fun of them by calling them sliders.
And then they incorporated
them. And now they call them sliders.
I got a picture somewhere of like when Dana was just born, we're all wearing take your rider for a slider. So, anyways, I ordered one extra burger for Holly. And at the time, she had one of those horrific summer colds. So I said, okay, we'll give it a try. And she took it out. Sniffed it twice, took a little tiny bit of the bun and went bleh. Just enough to contaminate the burger, so I couldn't eat it, but not enough to actually taste any of it.
I don't like it.
You didn't even try it. But now she no eat meat, so it's not a problem.
Oh, I still remember when I used to eat meat and you guys would bring over the White Castles and there was this weird texture to the burger, which now I know why, because they're steamed on a bed of onions.
Oh, yeah.
But it with a burger, you get that sort of crust on the outside. Yeah, that golden brown deliciousness.
Yeah, that carcinogenic crust.
Yeah. You get that char. You want that char. That's where the flavor is. And you bite into a White Castle and it wouldn't melt in your mouth. It would just kind of dissolve in your mouth.
Well, that was the beauty of it, you know, because they were steamed and stuff. God, you know, I can't be talking this. I gotta wait till tomorrow before I can. Well, no, Whitey's is open 24. They stay open. The only day of the year they close is Christmas. So they were open, or they are open, and they am open. Oh, I'm getting
do they still do the thing on Valentine's Day where they have tablecloths and candles and reservations and you can bring your sweetie there?
They not only do that, but the last couple of years I've tried to do it, they've been sold out.
Joe, I'm going to give you some advice.
Oh, and I'm really going to listen to it? I mean, yes, please.
I like your wife.
Hang on, I got to sit back here. I'll just chew on some chips while you're giving me advice.
I like your wife. I think she's a good match for you. Don't take her to White Castle if you want to stay married.
She used to like them. I mean, that was like a firefighter staple.
Yeah, used to. She's not going to like it on Valentine's Day, Joe.
Yeah.
Valentine's Day, you kind of got to put forth some... You know, some effort for some good food.
Corey, that sounds like a resolution. And since this year is the first podcast of the year, I think maybe we ought to talk about just what we hope to accomplish in 2015. Because God knows we didn't get crap done in 2014.
What do you mean? I did a whole bunch of solo podcasts. We are now up to this is our 173rd episode. How many TV shows have made it 173 episodes?
Simpsons, Gunsmoke, Doctor Who, 60 Minutes, NBC Nightly News.
Let's go to the Corey Trump 2000.
The
longest
version.
Running TV series. And we will go over what series we have done more episodes than.
Oh, must we?
Yes.
Okay, well, at least I have a bag of chips here I can chew on while you're doing that.
There we go. List of television programs by episode count.
Cool. Now, is this fiction or non-fiction?
Right. It just right here on the Wikipedia. So, here we go. We are at 173.
Cool.
Here are the long-running TV shows we have more episodes than. The Bob Cummings Show. Rugrats. Star Trek Voyager. Three's Company. Wings. L.A. Law. Medical Center. We have more episodes than Mission Impossible.
They're all going down.
Green Acres. Empty Nest. Barney Miller. Some of these are Colombian soap operas, so I'm not going to mention them because I haven't seen. Joe, are you ready for this? We have more episodes than Hogan's Heroes.
Now that's depressing.
I think it's impressive. More episodes than The Rifleman.
I'd be more impressed if we actually could make, you know, had like a real sponsor for this here podcast.
We do!
Ooh.
And unlike the Flintstones, which we have more episodes than, it's not a cigarette company. It's Whoa. These guys. This show has sponsors, and those sponsors are our best friends. They could be your best friends, too. Our first sponsor is DreamHost.com. DreamHost.com is the best bar none web host in the whole known universe. If you need a website, DreamHost.com is the host you need to go to. And if you use the code CRAZY, K-R-A-Y-Z, you get $20 off your first year. Just go to DreamHost.com. Do you need healthy snacks? You probably do. We all do. How would you like them where they show up without you even having to order them, where you just get a subscription, they show up so that when you've run out, they show up again? Graze.com has great healthy snacks, and you get a free box if you use the code CORYS3R5P. That's CORYS3R5P. Your first box and your fifth box are free. If you're listening to this show, you're one of the smartest people in the whole known universe, and you're probably fed up with paying too much for razors. So join Dollar Shave Club. They deliver great blades every month for just a few bucks. No more schlepping to the drugstore. No more overpriced, ridiculous shave tech that you don't need. Razor plans start at just $3 a month. Check it out and let us know what you think. Just go to dollarshaveclub.com/crazy, K-R-A-Y-Z. If you'd like to advertise on Crazy Comics and Stories or the Solitaire Rose podcast, we'd love it. Just go ahead and email me at corey.strode@gmail.com, subject advertising. You can also send us emails there. We love to get them. We love to read them. And most of the time, we can build a whole show around a three-line email. So go ahead and email us at corey.strode@gmail.com, or you can call or leave a message that we will play on the air at 952-856-0519. Thanks. Winston tastes good, all right, like a cigarette should.
Just remember, MSP Comic-Con, May 16th and 17th, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. both days. Used to be Spring Con, but now it's MSP Comic-Con, and it'll be out at the grandstand at the fairgrounds. So we've been pimping this since the last Spring Con. No reason you can't go. Come see Corey and I as we shill stuff for charity.
We have more episodes than Captain Barbell, a Filipino superhero series.
Well, that's good to know.
More episodes of Magnum P.I.
You know, I'm running out of chips here. I'm going to have to go get more if we continue.
More episodes than The Dick Van Dyke Show. More episodes of Fantasy Island. More episodes than The Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Cool.
More episodes than The West Wing. I'm just going down this list, and I'm really impressed by us. More episodes than Gilmore Girls. More episodes than Malcolm in the Middle. More episodes.
The question isn't so much how many more episodes we have, because, I mean, we've even had more episodes than David Soul's Casablanca. The thing is,
there was what?
The thing is who's in front of us still that we have to overtake?
Let's see. The next one we will catch. This is episode 173. So we just beat the Rugrats. With episode 174, we will be tied with Adam 12. Let's see, within about a month, we'll have more episodes of Star Trek Deep Space Nine or House. Laverne and Shirley, Star Trek Next Generation. Dora the Explorer. Let's see, by the end of March, we'll have more episodes than Family Ties, The Golden Girls, and I Love Lucy. And the next week, we will beat Seinfeld with 181 episodes.
The question is more, what do you want to get done in 2015?
What do I want to get done in 2015?
Do you have any goals?
Yeah, well, I don't believe in goals, but I know some goals. Things I'd like.
Goals. That's what I want to talk about.
Ah, okay. I don't have goals.
What do you have?
I have systems and themes. Because a goal is something where if you don't reach it, you feel like a failure. But a system and a theme.
You can always move
and,
the goalpost.
This is talked about by a number of people, and Scott Adams even wrote a book on it. I don't want to lose 25 pounds next year. I want to eat healthier, exercise more, and be in better shape. I don't want to get a raise at my job. I want to do the best I can with the tools that I have to further my career. I don't want to organize the living room and get everything cleaned up. I want to tell my son to finish reorganizing the living room and clean everything up that he started about 4 months ago. I don't want to get rid of the things that my former roommate Sharon has left in the hallway, making it next to impossible to pass through it. I want to tell her that she has until the end of January before I put it out on the sidewalk. But I would say the big things I want to do, I want to do 25 episodes of the solo podcast.
And that'll be in the first
week. I want to figure out how to self-publish a novel because I've got almost 12 novels written that publishing houses are probably never going to pick up because I'm not a name author. And I have a shit ton of comics I want to read.
All admirable goals. No matter what you want to call them.
What about you? What are you doing this year?
Same other shit I did last year. Fingers. Just slowly trying to eke my collection down into a manageable size. Something I've been after, I don't know, for the last couple of years, failing miserably. And of course, I still will, to anybody who cares, to drop me a line that I will pick something random off my pile and mail it out to you. There were a couple that came back. So if you did send Corey an email and you never did get something from me, it probably because I got your address wrong. So, but you don't have to bug Corey anymore because
Joe has a show related address.
I thought I was being so witty with my Oprah jokes only to discover that Corey never bothered sharing emails telling me that, a vast number of you worship Oprah. And so that I was offending your goddess, and I feel just terrible about it because truth be told, if Oprah looked my way, I would do anything she says. I think she's hot, but be that as it may, I will make no more Oprah jokes in 2015 unless I find something funny about it. But what you can do is if you want something out of my desk or if you want me to talk about something coming up with Solo Joe, I got me my own Gmail account. And I like email. So you can just send it to me at crazycomics@gmail.com. Crazy, of course, is K-R-A-Y-Z, comics, like you normally spell it. And I don't know how you spell gmail.com. So if you want, just send me a note. I think I remember the password to get on this thing. I don't remember. It's written down somewhere. I might have had it on my arm and washed it off, but I'll find it. So if you got anything you're interested in, want me to talk about Solo Joe, or you just got a particular question, like what is Corey, just how damn hairy is Corey's back? And I can tell you the story about the day he walked into a lamppost. You're talking an entire vacant parking lot, and Corey found the one lamppost in the middle of the damn thing and walked squarely into it.
I have it on good authority that someone steered me into it.
Uh-huh, right. There was only three of us there, and I happen to know the other one was not good authority. But that's neither here nor there.
By the way, when we get to episode 204, we'll have more episodes of Walker, Texas Ranger.
Oh, well, that's good. Of course.
Take that, Chuck Norris!
I'm not going to get the Norris mad at me. So that's one of my goals.
He's 70, and Bruce Lee kicked his ass.
Of course, The only problem is I keep adding to my pile, as you heard my gorgeous orgy of crash commercialism display from the last podcast. I think in one fell week, I totally undid everything I tried to get rid of in 2014. And it was glorious. That's really about it. I mean, you know, I've come to the realization if I play my cards right, I can retire in 10 years. And you know, I just got all this stuff. I want to just read it. You know, I mean, even now I've got piles of things that I got to read. I've got comics I've never gotten through. I've got movies. And on top of that, you know, we talked about, I just got Roku, still got Netflix. And before we dump our dish, I've got to go through and watch all the things that I have on the DVR since they're going to want it back. Because I think they will. I don't know what they do anymore. So that's pretty much it. Just enjoy the stuff I have while I'm out getting more stuff. Because that's all life is about, is stuff. And of course, there's two ways I do it. And of course, we're going to return to, oh God, Gray is shilling again. Because I got myself back on the toypeddler.com. Most of Toy Peddler is Hot Wheel cars, matchboxes, toys like that. He does have categories for other things, other toys, non-toys, want ads if you're looking for something hard. The one that got away, I was browsing through the comic category and I saw some guy was doing kind of Bronze Age comics in four packs and he had a run of Hulk.
Oh, cool.
And I followed, they're all like $9.99 for four different comics.
And $9.99
plus shipping and handling. But I was watching it and he had a run of Hulk and I go, oh my God, Hulk 181, the one pack that sold. He had a four pack, Hulk 80, actually I think 179, 80, 81, and 82. And it sold for $9.99. I almost wanted to email the guy and say, dude, you just sold a $2,000 comic for $9.99. But then again, who am I to spoil somebody's ignorance? You know damn well I'd have jumped on it faster than, oh, not going there, but I would have bought it if I had a chance to. So anyways, if you go over to thetoypeddler.com and you do want to try it, he has a way of getting free listing credits. So you just send him in an email and you write in down with the bay and he'll give you $5 in free listing credits. He doesn't take anything off the back end like eBay does. So it's basically you just buy these credits and you can post anything you want. I've had pretty good luck selling, like I said, Hot Wheels and things. I've had a few good hits with action figures and things. And of course, I'm still chugging away on eBay under the name Crazy, K-R-A-Y-Z. So once, now that we're in the new year, like I said, I'm going to be starting to put things up. And, again, the offer is if you do see something or buy it or win it off either Toy Peddler or eBay, just let me know you're one of the three listeners here at this here podcast and I will take something out of the pile of stuff and put it in for you as a freebie treat. And who knows if you spend a lot of money and make me, you know, pay for my weekly castles, maybe I'll ship it to you for free. I don't know. I'm a generous guy. What can I say? I'm always giving. Ask Corey. I always give when Corey's around. I give my wisdom, my humor, my presence, and he just doesn't appreciate nothing but Christina Hendricks, blue pea, and pie.
He gives his various odors.
Well, that's from the White Castle, you know.
Yes.
Can't let cows have all the fun with methane.
So do you have any comic-related things other than, you know, that stuff? Anything that you're looking at and going, I want to read this?
Actually,
or stuff in your pile that's been sitting for a while that you're going to read?
I've got two.
Because I've got stuff in my pile that, you know how they talk about how late to the party where you find out about a comic? There are a lot of comics I've found out about, but I just haven't had time to completely read.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, there's things like Hellboy, that comes off the top of my head right away. I got to get caught up in Chew, Fables. There's Walking Dead. I'm still way behind on that. And most of these are things that I'm going to pick up in graphic novel form. I even have sitting in my box back here. I picked up, my daughter suggested this one. She said I should pick up a copy of The Wake from Scott Snyder and Sean Murphy. I don't remember if you mentioned it. He won.
Nope, I have not read it.
He won the Eisner Award for Best Limited Series in 2014. The back reads, a mysterious signal is detected emanating from the ocean's depth, and in less than a month, the world has drowned. Okay, I'm sold. So I bought the hardcover on that one. I got a couple books here. I wish I could read them. One is Batman Joker or Switch, which I believe Devin Grayson and Ascenti.
And Docenti, yes.
So as I read the back, it goes, La mente pu de corta di Gotham City ha tempore atto limito. As you can tell, this is from my daughter's Italian pile. She also has a Secret Six graphic novel, and it doesn't have a number on it. I'm not sure which ones it
reads. Yes, it does. It's got the number six on it.
Well, no, because it's...
Hey, the crickets.
Segreti.
I've missed the crickets.
So anyway, 6 Degrees of Separation from 2006 and 7. Reprinting Secret Six, 6 Degrees of Devastation, 1 through 6. So graphic novel or miniseries, I don't know. So she's got these, which are kind of cool. I am fairly pleased that my daughters both discovered my hardcover Blankets by Craig Thompson. And they both read through it. I guess it's kind of a love story first. And I remember reading it, enjoying it greatly. And when Top Shelf decided to blow these things out at a very cheap price, I picked up a few. I also picked up I guess the soundtrack for a better thing. It's recordings for the illustrated novel. So apparently you play these while you're reading certain parts. Although the girls never opened it, so. But they've been enjoying Blankets, which I thought was kind of cool. And unbeknownst to me, my daughter picked up a signed copy of Amanda Palmer's The Art of Asking, or How I Learned to Stop Worrying and Let People Help. So my wife read it. My daughter's going to read it. I hope she's probably taking it to Italy with her, but I'm going to try to discourage her because I'd like to read it. And, plus it's autographed because, you know, I love autographed stuff. You know, other than that, let's see. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 short boxes of comics I have yet to get to.
I don't even talk about that.
And on top of that.
I've told the story a few times where when I left the overnight position, and it's happened a few times where, oh, I have a week off. I don't have to do anything. This is going to be awesome. And I grab a box of comics that I bought when a comic shop went under, you know, that I was able to get cheap or something from when your shop went under. And it's just, oh, I might read this at some point in some way. And I go, oh, cool. New comics. And I open it up. These are new comics I haven't read before. And I'll open it up and I'll look and it's, oh, look, 1996. Yeah, they're almost 20 years old. That was one of the cool things about the 90s. That was terrible for the comics industry, but great for me. When these shops would just go under, and you and I went into a few of them, but there were a few that I went to without you, where...
Oh, you bastard.
I know.
Okay, well, we got that out of our system.
And anyway. I would go in, like, the last few days... And, you know, they'd have half off or 75% off or blah, blah, blah. And I'd fill up a long box or two or three and then play Let's Make a Deal.
And he, yeah, for us, it was easy because if you did that, we'd say, well, you know, the comics are cheap. The lid's going to cost you.
But, yeah, I'd go, okay, tell you what, I'll give you $35 for this long box or, you know, $60 for two of them. oh, that's way too cheap, and blah, 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 blah. And I'd just put them right back and go, okay, well.
Fair enough.
Enjoy. I don't think you're going to sell them in the next couple of days, so. And 99 times out of 100, no, there weren't 100 shops, but I can only think of one time where the guy let me walk out the door. But most of the time you get near the door and they go, wait a minute. There was the one guy. Oh, I forget the name of the shop, but it was in Northern St. Paul. And you took me there and It was in this strip mall.
Funk Pit.
Shutting down, saying that he was moving to a new location, but he was really, really cagey about what the location was.
I think that was, wait, North St. Paul? No, that Funk Pit, I think, wasn't it? Just directly north on White Bear?
No, he had a bunch of the stuff from when your shop.
That was a guy over in Shoreview.
Yeah.
I forget the name of it.
But I went in there one time because you and I went in. And then I went in a few days later, like on his next to last day. And I just loaded up on all the Silver Age stuff. You know, it was beat to hell, but it was stuff I hadn't read. And I said, well, how much for these? And he went, oh, yeah, that's some really choice, you know, blah, blah, blah. Choice. It's beat to hell. Your shop's about to close. I'll give you $50 for the long box. Oh, that's just crazy. You know, I'm not going out of business. I'm moving.
Uh-huh.
Put it back on the shelf. Said, well, let me know where you're going. Here's my phone number. Here's my email. I'd love to shop at your new store. I actually got out the door before he called out, and he said, hey, wait a minute.
Wait a minute.
Five.
Yeah.
When a shop's closing down, that's stuff that's going to be put in a storage locker.
Yeah.
And if you go online, you can see that a lot of places sell this stuff dealer to dealer, pennies on the dollar, pennies a pound. So if they kind of know that you're a dealer or you're associated with a dealer or you're, you know, you act like a dealer or you lie and say you're a dealer. But a lot of times they just want to get what they can before the doors shut. Now, one thing I will say, most of the shops around the Twin Cities now seem very healthy.
Yeah. Well, another one went under.
Uh-oh.
Although this one's not a con.
As I just said.
Yeah, well, it's not really.
Oh, yeah, they're great.
It's not really a comic shop. It's more of a sports memorabilia place. Out at the Mall of America, Field of Dreams is gone.
Oh, wow. They've been around a long time.
Yeah, yeah. And the sad thing was, is a buddy of mine told me that it was going to go under. And when they finally started liquidating, I couldn't get out there. And I stopped out. I think their last day was December 31st. I stopped out on the 30th. All the local stuff had been wiped out. About 50%, maybe closer to 60 were gone. Stuff that was left, you know, was out of town, sports team autographs, things like that. Didn't really see much to really pique my interest. I mean, I was thinking three things, you know. First of all, what could I flip, you know, bring out on eBay right away? What could I use, you know, supplies, things like that. And then I was also looking at the displays, thinking if there's anything I could bring home. And, as a shop, they had some really nice displays. I might have picked that, but for the most part, it was too late. Oftentimes I find out about this stuff when it's, you know, it's over and done with. This time I was ahead of the curve. I just couldn't get out, you know. That's just the way it works sometimes. They hung through Christmas, and like Corey said, they've been here forever.
Well, I remember they started back when Shinders was running hot in baseball cards, and they actually went through, and all the baseball card people at Shinders got a huge rage and a promotion. Because Field of Dreams was coming through. Oh, you're the baseball card guy at Shinders? We'll hire you for double the salary. And I heard, and I don't know if it's true, because I worked at Shinders, and pretty much everybody at Shinders was a lying weasel, that the Twins had money in it. That Polad's family were the kind of the silent backers of it.
I think you're right. Which could explain why they got all that stuff.
Yeah.
Although I do recall there was a bit of a hubbub because I think they had some problems with Michael Jordan stuff that they thought was authentic that wasn't.
Well, they must have got it from Shinders then.
Because, yeah, there was a big to-do about that because, you know, Jordan was like, nah, I didn't sign none of this crap. And Phil Dream's like, oh, my gosh, you know, we're so embarrassed, blah, blah, blah. That was something, too, I found out way back whenever. Go look it up. It's in the podcast. I went to Vegas and hung out there, and I went to a Star Trek convention and sat as I was waiting for this auction to come up. But a guy was talking about collectibles, and he says the certificate of authenticity really doesn't mean much because, you know, you have to, like, go all the way back to the person who had it autographed in order for it to mean anything, you know. So if you later on in life suddenly discover one of your Dynamic Forces, Rob Liefeld autographed books is a fake, you can go to Dynamic Forces and ideally ask for your money back. That's what the certificate of authenticity is supposed to do. They might look at you and say, stop digging that out of the quarter box. Seriously, get a life. But so really certificates of authenticity don't mean anything because all of Michael Jordan stuff had certificate of authenticity. They just didn't mean anything. So basically you got to buyer beware when you're buying that high end stuff. But for the most part, Field of Dreams is pretty straightforward. It's a, like I said, just another, the sad thing about it is, you know, I'm, whatever reason they decided to close, it makes the Mall of America just one less unique store. You know, they're just fast becoming another mall. Granted, a big mall with a theme park and a Hard Rock in the middle and some pretty nice looking Hooter girls if you ever go upstairs to Hooters. But it's just, you know, all the unique, really cool stores that were in Mall of America when it first opened are gone. They're just priced out. And gone. A lot of the stores I used to really like are gone, are no more. But the ones that remain, like the Source, they're doing good. I think the Hots are fine.
Yeah, I went in and they were, but it was, well, it was Festivus and they were hopping.
Yeah.
And you could tell when a shop is in trouble because it doesn't look as well kept. As the panic sets in, they really, you know, it was around 6 at night. They had 3 employees and they were sorting books for the subscribers. So they were busy. There were employees there. The place was clean. It was well kept. They weren't sold out of stuff. You could kind of tell when a shop is in trouble because it won't look as clean as it used to. One of the things that shops do now, because now they actually, you know, they'll have employees who are, you know, paid employees, legitimate employees, and they'll lay them off. That's how you knew that Dreamhaven was in trouble when you came in and Greg Ketter was there all the time. And it's, oh, wow, Greg's here and none of the employees are around. Huh. And it was a short time later that he sold the store that he had on Lake Street and moved to the smaller store over by, I don't know. I know where it is, but 38th. I don't know the street. Okay.
Yeah, Hiawatha area there.
And I think, really, he kind of just keeps that store to try and get rid of all the stuff that he's accumulated.
But he did.
Because most of what he does is mail order.
The last time I talked with him, I was asking him about that, and he was like, you know, I just bought a Golden Age collection. I didn't want to, but the price was so good, and I'm like, oh, man, it's all over the basement. I don't know what I'm going to do. Because he's not open every day, you know, he does a lot of mail order. He sets it up and I admit it was some nice Golden Age stuff. It's not just things that I collect though. So.
And did we go there for like an end of Dreamhaven party he had?
We've been there a couple times. He does signings. But, he does readings.
But you remember the, where he had the Irish band in and it was kind of, this is the end of Dreamhaven.
Yeah.
And
I do.
He stayed open.
Yeah. Now he would be a guy to talk to sometime because he, you know, he's been around forever. As I often credit him or blame him for the first comic I bought outside of what I gave was given as a Christmas gift. And that was his little shop way, good Lord. I didn't want to think about it. I'd have to, I'm not sure when it was. I just remember I have Spider-Man 178. So it was probably 179 that I bought from him. And if you want to go look up when that was, feel free.
That was 1978 or 79.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and I've been to every store of his since. So, and I'm one of the few people that can say that. Now it's fun because I go in there and he's, you know, sometimes his daughter's there. I think his daughter, same age as Holly, maybe. So it's kind of funny to walk in and see her there. You know, it's like, I knew your dad back when he was a geek. I behave myself. I don't. I'm sure she gets a lot of that. Ah, good times, good times.
So anything, you've mentioned some of the stuff in the pile, some of the stuff in my pile. Saga.
I have that somewhere. I bought
Brian
the first
one of Fiona Staples.
I got the graphic novel and then I got the dollar image thing. And again, it's buried, so I don't even know where it is.
I am slowly putting together the complete Simon and Kirby library. Because I'm buying them used. They're $50 new. Yeah. But they turn up used a lot. And one of them I bought used was a library copy. And those, you know, they really take care of the cover and everything. But I also, for Christmas, picked up Young Romance Volumes 1 and 2. And I've read very, very little of Simon Kirby's romance stuff.
Next thing you'll be picking up Lee Marvin, Sing About Pussy.
I need to find out if that is a real album or not.
No,
that has been floating around on the Facebook.
It doesn't
for a while.
Exist. I know from a guy. It's actually a takeoff of Eddie Layton's. He's got a picture where his album. He's sitting there petting a cat on an organ. And so somebody put Lee Marvin on it. Sings about pussy.
I don't know. There were a lot of strange albums back in the 50s and 60s. Bill Cosby has an album of him singing old blues classics that my parents bought.
Now, you see there? You see there, Corey?
A couple of times and went, huh,
I bit my
we shouldn't
tongue.
Have bought this.
I bit my tongue and did not make a bad joke about that.
Well, that's good.
I know. It's hard to do because... I think I bit off a majority of my tongue. Tastes pretty good.
I am reading through the Crime Does Not Pay library as it comes out. I've got, they've got 8 books so far. I've got 3 of them. I'm putting that together. I am actually kind of shocked at how much I like it. And I can see why it was the top-selling comic in the U.S., for most of its existence, because it's actually for like the late 40s, early 50s. It's very well done. You got George Tuska art. The stories are, you know, they're true crime sensationalistic, but they're not crude. When they do stories about known gangsters, it's like, okay, this is a uber condensed version, but yeah, that's the real story of that criminal. That's the real story of Bonnie and Clyde. That's the real story of Al Capone or Frank Nitti or whatever. And one of the things that has happened to me over the last, I would say 10 years as I learn more and more about comic book history, most of what I knew either came from reading about Marvel's history or reading about EC. And when you read EC fandom, there is very much there's EC and everything else was utter, complete, worthless shit.
Sure, why not?
But as I'm finding more of the stuff, especially with all of the Atlas stuff being available on Marvel Unlimited and them doing the Atlas Masterworks. You know what? Marvel's output in the 50s was decent. Was it artistically as good as EC? No, but they had some of the same artists, so some of that stuff was as good. You had John Romita doing stuff. You had Dave Berg doing war comics. You know, Dave Berg of the lighter side, he did war comics. You had Al Jaffe doing serious work for Stan Lee. Over at Crime Does Not Pay, you had George Tuska. You had other artists around that. I'm learning that while EC was, yes, it was head and shoulders above artistically, it wasn't that everything else was crap. It's just EC had a lot of fans that really pushed their stuff. And I'm not recommending Golden Age comics to people who read modern comics now without knowing that it was a very, very different art style, a very, very different storytelling style. I doubt Brian Michael Bendis could write an 8-page story. I doubt many of the artists working today could put together an 8-panel page where there's stuff, where there's different stuff at every panel that flows. Does that mean the older stuff is better? No, it's just different. But you kind of have to put yourself in the mindset of, these are the guys who were doing stuff 50, 60, 70 years ago versus now, where everybody learns from what was done in the past. You know, you couldn't have had John Buscema without Jack Kirby and George Bell and Wally Wood and Jack Davis and Brune Hogarth and Will Eisner. Because his stuff builds from all that. And you couldn't have had Barry Windsor Smith without John Buscema. And you couldn't have Art Adams without Barry Windsor Smith. And on and on and on and on and on. And that's what I find so great about comic book history. It's as you go back, you get a different view. Especially when, I don't know if you were like this when you were a kid, Joe, but you would get to a reprint of Golden Age stuff and you would go, oh, this stuff looks like crap. These stories are stupid. I'm not going to read this.
I don't ever recall doing that. I always liked it because it's just one of those things. I don't recall when I became aware of Golden Age, Silver Age. I mean, I look back on my collection of things that I've had, that I've owned, that I've sold, you know, the first, Flash of Two Worlds, the JSA, the first Martian Manhunter, Cerebus One, Uncanny X-Men One, I had a coverless copy of Spider-Man. You know, these are things I've sold over time. The only thing that bewilders me is I don't recall how I learned about a lot of this stuff. I do recall, you know, looking at like the little pocket or the paperback size book of Fantastic Four reprints and knowing Jack Kirby did it. And then I must have looked at maybe a New Gods, or maybe it might have been, like a Captain America annual Kirby's stuff, and like, ew, what the hell happened between Fantastic Four and now? And I didn't really get an appreciation of Kirby stuff until much later. But, I always looked at it. I mean, even now I can remember, you know, Shazam reprints. I can remember reading about the Vigilante for the first time, the Western guy, Justice Society of America. You know, anytime they had a thick book of reprints, I didn't really jump onto things like Marvel Age. It was a Marvel, not Marvel Age, Marvel Tales, where it was like all just reprints. Or any of the other Marvel reprints. I mean, I knew when I picked them up, and the first thing I'd look at if I see originally presented in Tales to Astonish 55, it's a reprint. I don't want it. But it's just one of those things that I just – maybe it was when I first picked up Overstreet price guide, you know, cause there they always talked, they had a wonderful history of comics and things that were laid out. And, you know, I would look back and say, wow, that's what an Action One is worth. Or, you know, one of the stories I love to tell my ma is about how I wanted to pick up an Action Comics number one for $50. And, you know, comics were only 25 cents. So obviously she said no. But if I cleaned my room, I could have $10. And then I went probably to Dreamhaven and bought comics. So yeah, I just don't get when I understood the history. I know I loved it, you know, especially if I could read, you know, like a main current story and then go back and read a reprint. Or sometimes I love it when you look at the old DC covers, they tout that history. First time this tale's ever been reprinted since the Golden Age. Or, you know, here's the Superman story. Here's some stories about the villain when they met in the past, you know. So they kind of embraced it. Marvel does it occasionally when they have a special event out. You know, they'll have a 100-page comic where they'll, you know, they're fighting Ultron. Okay, here's some of Ultron's appearances in the past, you know. So, but I don't know if they dip into that well as much because, you know, just like that big book that came out, it's 75 years of stuff. And, you know, it's fun to acknowledge it, but I don't, you know, as long as you don't get bogged down in it, I guess. Or maybe it's just old farts like us that appreciate it more, you know.
Well, I think I could actually remember when I first started reading Marvel. Origins of Marvel Comics had just come out. So I wanted it desperately and I got it for Christmas. And when you go back and read it now, there's next to nothing. Stan wrote maybe, you know, 2000 words for the whole book. Cause it's, here's a Fantastic Four and here's how we created it. And here's two Fantastic Four stories. Now here's Spider-Man. Here's Thor. But you know, how old was I? I was 12 or 13.
Don't do the math.
I was either 12 or 13 and I'm picking it up going, cause here's the first Fantastic Four story. And then here's one from, you know, later in the run. And it wasn't a modern story. They were both still reprints of older stuff from the 60s, but it's, oh wow. And you'd see how far it had come and you got that sense of history from it. And then the first comic convention I went to in Chicago, it was a Creation convention. And I picked up my first Overstreet price guide. And it was the one with EC on the cover because Russ Cochran, is it Russ Cochran? No, Bob Overstreet.
Mm-hmm.
It was kind of an open secret that when Bob Overstreet got done with collecting something, he would then cover feature it on the next price guide. So the prices would go up.
You always tell what he was in his collection by what went up.
And he was able to complete his EC collection, I guess, because there's a big article on EC. And I've told the story on the EC podcast I did and probably here a couple of times. I read that article and there was the ad for Russ Cochran's complete EC. You know, the big hardcover in black and white in the slipcases, and I will have those. Comics were at 35, 40 cents, and you could get the complete Tales from the Crypt, 5 volumes, hand-stitched, black and white with a slipcase for $100. I will own that someday. And I do. I own them all now. But there was, you know, you would read Overstreet and it would go into the history of things. And I was so primed for that stuff that I just absorbed it. And then you start making connections. So it's like, Jack Davis. Oh, that's the Jack Davis who draws in Mad and does covers of TV Guide. And this guy works on Mad. And this guy works for Cracked, and this guy works for DC. This guy's an editor at DC, and this guy works for Marvel. And you start putting the pieces together in your head. And some people are interested in that, and some people aren't. I'm one of the people who is. I always think back to that one guy who came in the shop. He came in every Friday, and he bought Marvel books, and you could suggest the greatest book on the planet. He wouldn't buy it because he just bought what he bought, and he didn't care who was writing it. He didn't care who was drawing it. Nope. I've been collecting Amazing Spider-Man since blah, blah, blah. I buy Amazing Spider-Man. Oh, well, it crosses over into, you know, this book and you'll need, nope, I just buy Amazing Spider-Man. And I just buy this and I just buy this and I just buy this.
He didn't even buy Ultraverse. I remember that. even when they started the failed attempts of crossing Ultraverse or Marvel characters into the Ultraverse, he just, nope, didn't care.
Well, I remember I picked up the Ultraverse when Warren Ellis was writing and George Perez was drawing their version of the Avengers or the JLA or whatever. And I don't even remember what it was called. But that was my first experience of the writer kind of wandering off in the middle of a story and George Perez wandering off a little while later and being replaced by, you know, two guys named Joe.
Or Roglin, one of the two.
What the hell happened? And then it was canceled and you went, oh, that's what happened. They were thinking, yeah, we paid George Perez way too goddamn much to be on a book that's selling this poorly. But I think over time, I want to get more into reading the stuff that I have that's just kind of been, oh, cool, I'll get this and I'll read it sometime. Well, next year is going to be sometime.
And that's, you know, my old partner, Pat, did that. He's already gone. He's way ahead of me. He's basically been purging his collection of things that don't make the cut. He does not have that mentality, I have to have everything. If I don't like it, I'm going to get rid of it. And I don't even know if he buys many monthly comics. He just has what he has. He's happy with what he's got. I still am greatly enjoying a lot of monthly comics, but there are some titles I pick up because I read it, the description, and it sounded good, and I've got maybe 6 to 10 copies of it. I've yet to read a single issue because I just don't have time to do it. And I'm like, I hate to not buy it because obviously there was something in that particular title that made me plunk down my money, and I'd like to at least read it once before I chuck it. But it's like, when does it end? You know, I mean, plus you see a lot of things on Kickstarter that I'd love to support the guy directly because I like what he's doing, but there's only so much you cray around.
Well, and in some ways you almost got to decide what your priorities are. And the end of the year is good for that. I'm going to be, I have a whole lot of podcasts I'm subscribing to, and there are a whole bunch of them I didn't listen to this year. And even though that I like the people doing it or I like what they do, it's, you know, I'm only at the gym so much. I'm only in my car so much. I only have time to listen to so much. I may love Girl on Guy by Aisha Tyler. But it's one of those where it's, oh, look, there's a new episode of WTF and a new episode of how did this get made and a new episode of Alton Brown's podcast. And, oh, there's Wait, Don't Tell Me. And there's This American Life. I'll listen to that after those. And then another week goes by and another bunch drops and another week goes by and another bunch drops. And eventually it gets to the point where it's been, you know, I haven't listened to that in a good 6-7 months. And it's just taken up a space on my hard drive. Okay. Every so often I go through comics and go, all right. I used to have a rule where if I had 6 issues in a row and I hadn't read them, I was done with that series.
I may have to do that. Image, I'm looking at you.
One of the problems with that, though, is you get books where it's one story spread out over 24, 26, or 28 issues. And I also really, really, really hate reading three parts of a story and then coming back 2 months later and reading another four parts of a story, and I've forgotten some of the details, and it's why after I read the first couple issues of Fatal by Brubaker and Phillips, I said, you know what? They've said it's a finite series. I'm going to wait till it's done. Chew is another one. Really liked it, but they said it's going to be about 60 issues. I'll wait till it's done. Then I'll sit down and read it as a bunch. A lot of the Image books are like that. Prophet. Waiting till that's done. Going to read that in a bunch because I read the first few and went, this is really brilliant. I'll wait till it's done. The new reboot of Captain Victory and the Galactic Rangers by Joe Casey. First issue blew me away. Oh, it's a 6-issue series? Okay, when it's done, I'll read it all then. It's kind of why I don't like reading fantasy novels, because they're multi-part books, and sometimes you have to wait 2 or 3 years between books. And with fantasy novels, everybody has a goofy name that's not a real name that anybody really uses. So you spend the first 200 pages going, all right, who are these people? Then you pick up the next book and you spend another 100 pages going, all right, I know that name, but who the hell was that? Why can't they just be Bob and Frank?
Uh-oh. Another store going out of business.
Uh-oh.
Barnes & Noble. Well,
what?
Not everybody. The Highland Park, St. Paul, Minnesota store is closing its store. And by the time you listen to this podcast, it will be closed.
Huh. Except when Barnes & Noble closes a store, they don't really blow a lot of stuff out. They just move it to another store.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe. Let's see. Where are we recording this? It's still open as we're recording this. Maybe I'll stop by. Who knows? I'll give a report next week. Yeah, place was crap.
Now, I do want to go.
I was going to say, usually I like going through Barnes & Noble, even just to browse their discount books.
Yeah, the remainder books.
Yeah. I mean, that's why I picked up the one I'm reading, the Total Recall by the Schwarzenegger.
I will say that if you have an indie bookstore in your town, I tell you right now, they need help. I subscribe to the Uncle Hugo / Uncle Edgar mailing list where they send you a newsletter every 4 months. And it just gets progressively more depressing to read it. As he talks about how book prices are going up, the number of people coming in the store are going down, the number of books per visit they're buying is going down. He can actually do the math and see about how long the store will last if things don't change. And he has made some changes here and there. But tell you what, sell him physical media.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how many times Joe and I have said it. Not a business I want to get into.
My daughters are just as happy to have a digital copy. And, you know, I can see that, like I said, I think the last big DVD buy I'll have was the Batman Adam West series.
Yeah, there's not a lot out there that is yet to get put out, though, too.
Hey, have you shaved your bikini zone? America's next top model is going to be in St. Paul this week. It's your chance to run out there and become an aspiring model. I know that's a dream you've wanted to have for a long time.
Joe, you're projecting right now. I know you want to be America's next top model.
No, I want to be Columbo. He's my favorite TV detective.
I don't know. Jim Rockford. I like Jim Rockford.
Rockford, he got beat up too much. That was the only thing.
See, I like Columbo, but my problem with it, with a lot of TV detectives, Columbo, I can't watch over and over and over. And I think it was really good when the series was on that it was part of a rotating series, so it was only on once a month.
Mm-hmm.
Because while it's a really cool series. Peter Falk's amazing. They've been running it weekly on, I think, MeTV. And after about four, I said, okay, I can't watch these back to back because they tell you who the killer is at the very beginning. And the rest of the episode is him figuring out, you know, you get a watch, Columbo, piece it together, which is a cool premise. But boy, it gets tired fast if you're watching it back to back.
Yeah. Kind of like I was trying to read the Phantom Stranger showcase. It was like, boy, these first couple issues are essentially the same friggin' thing over and over and over.
That was one of the things about the Silver Age DC versus Silver Age Marvel. And I could see why Silver Age Marvel eventually overtook it. And Silver Age Marvel does so much better in reprints because Stan was doing soap opera. And it was all about the soap opera and, you know, okay, here's the villain this week, villain this month, and maybe it'll be continued and on like that. But DC, it's all right. Here's our premise. And we'll do pretty much the same story the next week, next month.
Oh, Michael.
Flash was the worst at that, where it was, okay, here's a gimmicky villain. He defeats the Flash. Flash figures out a new way to use his powers to defeat the gimmicky villain.
By running faster than the speed of light.
Or, you know, spinning his arm and creating a vortex. Or vibrating, you know, vibrating stuff so that this happened. Or, you know, rubbing his hands together to create a lot of heat to defeat Captain Cold sort of thing.
Michael Keaton has just two words to say about the Beetlejuice sequel. And you know what they are?
I'm in.
Ask Tim.
Oh.
Because as you know, the director Tim Burton says he's working on a sequel. That's fun.
Here's my problem with if they do a Beetlejuice sequel. I can't think of any sequel ever that has taken place that has been made 25 years after the original that's been any good.
We'll see.
I'm
only
giddy about
Tim,
the fact that we're going to get Twin Peaks.
If Tim's in it, I mean, Tim Burton's on board. I would give it more credulence than if someone just pulled it out of their hat and let's run with it.
But I think even if you wait 10 years for a sequel, Sin City, if they would have made that sequel 3 years later instead of like 8 or 9 years later, I think it would have been a huge hit. But because they waited so long, the movie was just as good as the first one, but people were, don't care. It's passed by. Nobody cares anymore. Move on, move on, move on. You got to hit sequels fast. I think that's, look at the New Gods. When Kirby came back to the New Gods, it felt like it had been forever since it had ended.
Yeah.
You know, it was only 10 years. But even Kirby said, I can't find Darkseid's voice anymore. When you move on from things, it's hard to come back.
That almost sounds like a freaking.
Yeah, I've got a couple freakins.
Oh, well, let's do it.
But first, we'll go to you, Joe. What are you freaking about?
Dana's back in Italy.
Already?
Well, by the time this podcast airs.
Oh.
So.
Although she has the Infinity Gauntlet, she could come back whenever she wants.
Maybe
she'll probably
has?
Just come back, grab a bunch of Taco Bell, and pop back to Italy.
You gotta remember, I've got Sacco, so she's not gonna destroy the time continuum too badly. That's pretty much it. Other than that.
How's she liking Italy?
She likes it. You know, for the most part, she's with what she calls a lot of rich people. Because for the most part, my wife and I are probably one of the few solid middle class couples around. So these are people like, I'm going to go fly to France for the weekend. And Dana's like, I don't really have the money to do that. And so, but you know, she's seen quite a lot. I did get to look at her pictures when she was here and, you know, they did get the jet over to Greece. So
Well, she could buy a Eurorail pass and go anywhere in Europe. Well,
that's
if she
the
wants
big,
to ride the train,
that's
right?
The big way to do it. You know, they just plan the time and they go run for it. So that's kind of the big thing. Chris and Holly are booked already to go visit her towards the end of her school year. I cannot get a time off work.
You get to stay home with the guinea pigs.
Maybe. I'll just bring them to Peru. You've heard about the Peruvian Guinea Pig Festival? They feed
No.
those things so they're about the size of watermelons, and then after they dress them up and parade them around, they eat them. It's quite a delicacy down there.
Ick.
Well, I got a rabbit. You know, nobody cries about Hassan Pfeffer. That's pretty much all I'm freaking on. You know, just starting a new year, freakless. That's interesting. Anyways, Corey, what are you freaking on? What's got you down in the dump? What's got you madder than a wet hen?
Well, I'm not mad, but
oh, that's good.
It's been a lot of endings this last couple of weeks on the television.
Mm-hmm.
We had our last episode of the Colbert Report.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was an okay last episode, you know, but still, it's last episode of the Colbert Report. Had our last episode of Newsroom on HBO, the Aaron Sorkin show, and Aaron Sorkin said he's not going to be doing TV anymore, which I imagine he'll change his mind when he's not able to get the movies made that he wants to get made, because TV's much more happy with adult drama than movies are.
Mm-hmm.
The Craig Ferguson Late Show.
That one I'm bummed about, yeah.
And
did
you watch the last episode?
I haven't recorded. That's one of those things I've got to watch.
It's wonderful.
I do like, as he was coming up to it, he kept talking about, I got nothing to lose. What are they going to do, fire me?
Yeah. He's got one guest. He sits with Jay Leno.
Oh.
And they have a conversation. Rather than, you know, Jay Leno coming out and doing that. Yeah, you know what Bill Clinton did last week. And the final scene was very, very funny. I really liked it. And we had the last occurrence of David Letterman's Christmas show.
Mm.
That one's going to hurt because Letterman... Well, I don't watch Letterman every night. Letterman was my late night host. Carson was, you know, he'd been around a long time. I watched Letterman's first show. I was in college when Letterman was the hot college show. And when he moved over to CBS, the show got a little tamer. Dave's got a little, you know, he's not experimenting as much, but I still... Dave's got that skewed sense of humor. And, you know, he pisses off Sarah Palin. So anybody knows
that's mad. And our girl Oprah likes him. That's all that matters.
But I've always liked Dave. And, you know, he's now done his last Christmas show. I think they've set the last show for sometime in May, which means now we're going to get a lot of people for their last appearance.
Mm.
And... Yeah, a lot of TV's ending.
All right, I got a question. If he's leaving in May, why is Craig leaving now? I thought Worldwide Pants produced the show.
Craig Ferguson's contract was up,
and they just
at the end of
didn't
the year.
Want to renew it a few extra months. What are they putting in its place?
They're gonna have a few weeks of guest hosts, like Drew Carey's gonna do a week, somebody else is gonna do a week.
Meh.
And I think the new host starts in either February or March. And I've seen his name, but I don't know who he is.
Well, that's good.
Which is fine with me.
Craig Peterson was before he started, so.
I know Craig Ferguson from the Drew Carey show, but nobody knew who Conan O'Brien was. And really, before Letterman, nobody knew who the hell Letterman was.
True.
Yeah, kind of freaking about those things. Work is getting weird in that I've talked a little about how they're moving the phone bank that I supervise down to Costa Rica. And they keep telling us, oh, don't worry, there'll be jobs. Don't worry, there'll be jobs. We have a plan. We have a plan. We have a plan. My supervisor flew down to Costa Rica for a week. Sometime in January, he's going to fly down because they need to do 6 weeks of training. So he'll be down there for a couple of weeks. The trainer will be down there for a few weeks. Everybody's going to be flying back and forth to Costa Rica. A lot of the people on the phones are getting training in jobs in other departments. So believe it or not, we need to bring in temps to handle the phones as the employees get moved elsewhere. And they keep telling me, don't worry, don't worry, don't worry. My temp agency, yes, I'm still a temp, has told me that they can place me in a day. But, you know, you're still a little worried about it. You're still a little upset. I don't want to go back to doing overnights at the group home. That was tiring. You know, there's some uncertainty there. And my boss, you know, the one who flew down to Costa Rica, he's really nervous because he had to interview his own replacement.
There's something wrong with that. Something very, yeah, very wrong with that.
And then he's going to be training his own replacement. They're going to fly him down to Costa Rica to train his own replacement. Boy, I hope they got a plan for something for him to do because he's really, really good at what he does. He's great at putting together a solid team of people. One of the best supervisors I've ever known. And so there's some nervousness about that. And that's really about all I'm freaking about. Joe, what are you geeking on? What are you loving?
Speaking of the aforementioned Barnes & Noble, I picked up another small mammal killing book for a very cheap price compared to what it came out at. I picked up a Doonesbury retrospective.
Ah.
He had it for $20. And so that will go on the pile with all the other books I have yet to read. This was one of those $100 specialty books they had. And, you know, when it first come out, I mean, they've done them with Farside. They did it with Mad. And I've learned to wait. And if I really want it, wait and buy it cheap. So I picked up that. According to my email, I have a box coming.
Yeah, I've got another geekin'.
Okay.
I got the email that, hey, your box is on its way.
It's on its way.
And it will be there Friday the 26th. And I was, oh, wow, I can't wait because I got some cool stuff in there. I'm really excited. So then I check on the 24th. And it's all, you know, we've printed the label, but it hasn't been put in the mail.
Yeah,
yet.
I've seen.
Okay. That'll be fine. And Friday.
Still printed the label.
The label's still printed. They still haven't put it in the mail yet.
Yep.
Today, it printed the label. They still haven't put it in the mail yet. So much for me getting my box before I have 2 whole days off. Bastards.
Yeah, I was kind of hoping
anyway,
it would get here.
But we're geeking, not freaking.
Yeah, I thought it'd get here before so I could, you know, have something to play with the next couple of days. I got to go to a Minnesota Wild hockey game on Saturday the 27th, which was fun. We were there, my wife and I, because as I've mentioned in the past, she works with an organization called Sparekey, sparekey.org. Go donate now. Basically what Sparekey does is it's a Minnesota-based nonprofit. It helps parents with like a seriously ill or critically injured child. It helps so that the parents can spend time in the hospital and then they will help with the bills, like pay 1 month of mortgage or help with whatever. And what they were doing at the Wild, what the Wild does is they have a booth and it's essentially a raffle. Half the money goes to the charity and half the money goes to whoever wins, up to $10,000. So you can go spend as little as a buck or as whatever you want. And then halfway through the third period, they'll put the number up and the lucky number winner wins half of whatever they made. That particular night, they cleared over $9,000. So they split that right in half. And my wife was there to participate, take care of all the paperwork. on Sparky's half. And of course, the Wild takes care of actually writing the checks. So that was kind of cool. It was fun to go to the game. I saw a friend there who's, you know, a bigger sports nut than I am. So it was kind of neat. She came over during one of the periods to say hi. The game ended with a loss to the Winnipeg Jets, unfortunately, when one of the weirdest goals I've ever seen. Somebody slapped the puck. It bounced off the glass behind the net, bounced onto the net, off the net, onto the back of the goalie, and then as he tried to react, it went into the net. As it was overtime and tied, the Jets won like 4-3. I mean, how do you defend against a goal like that? I mean, it was a pretty even game. And, you know, I guess I don't really follow hockey that much other than the home team. I guess these were divisional titles. So, you know, it matters that they lost, but just, I mean, even I didn't understand just how ridiculous the goal was until I got home on the news and watched the instant replay on it. So we got to ban all goalie backs. That's the bottom line for that.
Or just blame Canada.
Yeah, blame Canada. Not a real country anyways. And that's pretty much it. Corey, what you geeking on? What's got you happy? Happier than... Nope, not going there. Happier than with Christina Hendricks gets ID blocking on her phone.
Why would that make me happy?
No, it makes her happy.
Oh.
Hey, I read the court orders. Anyways, what's got you going?
Comic-wise, I've been, as I talked about a little earlier, I'm reading some early Kirby, Simon and Kirby, reading my Crime Does Not Pay.
He's reading Kirby.
I actually have in the bag that I take to work, it's not a man purse. It's supposedly a soft-sided briefcase. Yeah, it's a messenger bag, yeah. Whatever. I have thrown in the Showcase Presents Weird War Tales number 1. These are fun stories to read at lunch because they're all about 8 to 10 pages. DC in the 70s, war stories with ghosts and zombies and Frankenstein and robots. What are you doing?
Me?
Yes.
Just typing.
It sounds like you've got one of those little robots that...
Well, you know. Flash, we've only got 27 minutes to save the Earth. What do you mean, Flash Gordon approaching?
One of the things I do on New Year's Eve is I kind of do my own little Mystery Science Theater 3000. I'll watch some good movies, and I always, always, always watch Duck Soup with the Marx Brothers. But I try to find one train wreck mess of a movie. And I think this year I have found it.
And?
Joe, have you ever seen the 1969 classic with Peter Fonda and Dennis Hopper, Easy Rider?
You would think, having a last name Ryder and being called that, I would have, but I haven't.
You've heard of it, though, right? Yeah. Movie about hippies. Kind of the 69 Youth Rebellion was the movie that kind of changed Hollywood in that, as the Dennis Hopper and Peter Fonda were making it, the studio executives were like, this movie doesn't make any sense. It's going to be a huge bomb. Came out, was a huge hit. And the executives finally went, all right. Our movies have been bombs. This thing's a hit. We obviously don't know what the youth of today wants to watch. So they changed, and they handed the keys over to people like Francis Ford Coppola and George Lucas and Steven Spielberg and Martin Scorsese. Created the whole 70s sort of art film revolution. Did you know there was a sequel?
There was? Not So Easy Rider?
Yes, there was a sequel.
Crazy.
Now, I'm not talking about the sequel that Dennis Hopper wrote in the 80s, where the two characters were resurrected from the dead 30 years later, which is a script he took around after he got his Oscar for Hoosiers. No, I'm talking about the movie made by Phil Fitzer, an Ohio right-wing lawyer who learned that the sequel rights were up for grabs, bought it, starred in, even though he's never been in a movie before, co-wrote, and supposedly directed under a fake name. The story is called Easy Rider, The Ride Back. It's about three 60-ish relatives or friends of the Peter Fonda character reflecting back on the military history of their family. Never mind the iconic scene where Peter Fonda is burning his draft card and talking about how the military is the worst thing to happen to America. Nope. That was all wrong. He comes from a fine military tradition. Mm. And in honor of 9/11, his brother, played by lawyer Phil Fitzer, is going to ride across America in tribute to his dead hippie brother and the heroes of 9/11.
Well, good. Everybody's got to have a hobby.
This looks amazing. It's like, well, you know, I really like the poster and I like motorcycles, but everything else about the movie was hippie crap. So I'm going to write a movie that pretty much ignores all that.
You know, if you want another one, of course, I don't know if you have Netflix, but you.
Oh, yes, I do.
Oh, okay. You could right now run the movie Rubber. It's about a tire that comes to life and kills people with psychic powers.
Oh, that sounds amazing.
Yes, it's on there now. I was trying to get, because my daughters and my wife love like horror movies, and I was trying to get them to watch this sight unseen. However, Dana blew it. I've seen it. It's stupid. We're not watching it. Damn.
I still remember the best of these movies that I ever did was the year that I discovered Jesus Christ Vampire Hunter, the Kung Fu musical.
Even I remember that.
I love that movie. It's completely incompetent, but I love that movie. And this movie looks just as incompetent without any of the humor of Jesus Christ Vampire Hunter. So I will report back. The other thing that I've been spending a lot of my time with is a podcast called How Did This Get Made?
Which we featured prominently. Well, no, I'm just saying that, but you think we would.
It's one of those that's been on the list. It's, oh, yeah, I'll get to it. And Kevin Smith was on an episode where they discussed a movie. I don't even remember what one. And that's what got me hooked. But I listened to two episodes this weekend while I was cleaning and cooking. And one was A View to a Kill, the worst of the James Bond movies, with a nearly 60-year-old Roger Moore.
A View to a Kill.
Betting Grace Jones.
Did I ever tell you about the time my DJ partner and I in school decided to run? We found a Grace Jones LP in the library. And so what we would do at various points in the broadcast is play a Grace Jones song and ask our viewers and listeners, because it was radio, of course, can Grace Jones sing? And we went through most of the album, and there was one song she sang that was actually not too bad. It was kind of a softer ballad. But the best part was when we got to the newscast and the news girl come in, and at the time she was dating, I think, the general manager. So she come in and she was given the newscast, and then the general manager had come in, and what they didn't realize is that we were still on the air. And she started to complain bitterly about, you see what these two are doing? They're playing a Grace Jones album and asking people if she can sing. And I was just, well, you know, these are important things people need to know. That way they don't have to waste their time. Oh, I can't believe you guys are doing that. That's terrible. And he's trying to motion at her like, they're live, they're live. Because she was, you know, a minute ago, she was like the real prim and proper news person, and now she's freaking out. And when we finally do into a record, he's just kind of going, oh my God, tell me you weren't live. I go, oh, that was beautiful. That was live, baby. Unfortunately, they were refurbishing the station at the time, so we didn't have the mechanism in place so we could record our broadcasts. The idea was, is you record your broadcasts and then you could make a demo tape off them. So a moment lost in obscurity. That was just, they trying to see if she can sing. And as I said, the one song she was able to sing pretty well. Most of it we were like, I don't think so.
But the View to a Kill episode is good. But I listened to what could be their masterpiece, Joe.
What was the name of the podcast?
How Did This Get Made?
Okay.
Their masterpiece was No Holds Barred, the Hulk Hogan movie.
Oh.
They talk for an hour and 10 minutes and they only get 15 minutes into the movie itself. It's amazing. It's so funny. And a lot of the guys on it have gone on to do, you know, when they started, it was just a podcast, but now they show up on like At Midnight and some of the other Comedy Central shows, and they're getting gigs elsewhere. But just go flip through. It's on Earwolf, which is one of those big, hey, we make a whole lot of podcasts. So when you listen, you're going to get a lot of stamps.com ads and Amazon links and stuff. But I feel bad that I didn't listen to this podcast much more, much sooner. And it reminds me of the first idea we had for this here podcast, where we were going to do like our version of Wrestle Crap Radio, where it was going to be, we talked about what the crappiest comic that had come out that week. Sadly, you talked me out of it.
Yeah, because the problem was, is we're not buying all the comics. If I had a store, that would be fun, just because we would have access to all the comics.
Well, and Rob Liefeld's not putting out a comic a week.
Yeah, there is that.
Thank you. Good afternoon.
Yeah. Try the veal. Well, not you. I will.
Be safe on your drive home.
Baby cow.
But next week I'll have a lot more comic stuff to talk about. And, you know, we've been threatening to do a Vertigo episode now for a month. And you keep distracting me.
Yes, it's very easy. Usually I just say, hey, is that Christina Hendricks with pie?
Is that Christina Hendricks walking rapidly?
In slow motion from a giant explosion with pie?
Well, I don't even need the explosion. There's actually a subreddit about Christina Hendricks, and all it is here she is at this thing in a you know, low cut dress. Here she is in this thing. Here she is here. And the one that has the most views is from some where she was in some Lifetime movie for less than 3 minutes, but she was in a bathing suit jogging.
Boy, now that's something to put on your computer when you leave for work.
I tell you what, it is the greatest piece of film ever made. You can keep your Citizen Kane. You can keep your Casablanca. You can keep your There Will Be Blood. You can whatever this movie is, whatever this crappy Lifetime made-for-cable movie is, that 3 minutes of film is the greatest 3 minutes of film ever. That's what I'm geeking on. Christina Hendricks in a bathing suit, walking rapidly.
Yes, we finally got to the crux of Corey. Once you know that, there's nothing else to know about him.
Hey, I'm a guy.
Yeah.
We guys are like that.
Yeah, well, you know, throwing a car chase, a few explosions, I'm good.
I don't even need that. Remember what we talked about last week, the geek and I had last week, where we're finding that the younger, if you're under 25, you search more for butts than boobs.
Mm-hmm.
There's something wrong with the youth of today, Joe.
I'm telling you.
These kids today.
Loud music.
Their loud pants and their big hair.
Get off my lawn.
Listening to the Skrillex.
And when I was young.
For the butts instead of the boobs.
I had to.
All of you, get off my lawn.
Buy comic books and they ripped the logo off right in front of me. And I was grateful.
How much did you pay for the comics where they had the top third of the cover ripped off?
I never bought them.
Oh, they had them at the Ben Franklin store
in Illinois. Yep.
Now, a comic was 25, either 20 or 25 cents, because that was back when I was still buying the Richie Riches. Mm-hmm. But if the top third of the cover was ripped off, they were 3 for 25 cents.
Woohoo!
They were 10 cents each or 3 for 25 cents.
Take them dare quarters out and start buying yourself some stuff.
Damn right. I read a lot of Richie Rich comics.
Yeah. Cool.
I'm actually surprised that nobody has put together. Dark Horse did a collection of like each of the big Harvey characters, but I'm surprised nobody's come out with big, thick
books. Or the classic ones. Yeah. I don't even know who owns the rights anymore.
Harvey still owns the rights. Because Dark Horse licensed them from Harvey.
Yeah. Talk to Archie. They know how to deal with that stuff, right?
Well, you know what we need to talk about next time?
The fact that my...
Marvel and DC reboots, Archie's rebooting.
Well, I thought maybe that my 16-year-old nephew went to the source last week and got a nice picture with the guys who are currently creating the My Little Pony comic. Yes, he's a brony.
That's a freaking.
No, not really. If he's happy with it. Who am I, who am I to judge? I drove all over the United States looking for Transformers in college. I told him, just save them because you never know. They'll go up in money. Those kids who are buying them now will get to be our age and go, yeah, when I was growing up, I used to play with My Little Pony. Hey, look, he's got some for hundreds and bucks. Let's done by him. Speaking of 20-year-old properties,
talks like that when they're our age.
Speaking of that, Gem's coming back in a big way.
On Pogs?
Probably.
Okay. Well, kids, believe it or not, when it comes to Gem Pogs, that's when I know the show is over.
Yeah, and believe it or not, we started at, let me see, hang on, let's see, okay, right here. Let's see, Corey, you home? I go, you home now? You want to bang out the podcast? Corey, I got nothing, but we could. And I got nothing either. Let's do it. You just got 1 hour, 36 seconds and 41 minutes of nothing. Strike that in reverse. It's all good.
Believe it or not, kids, you've listened to us blather on about funny books for an hour and a half when we had nothing to talk about.
Yep. Could you imagine if we had something to talk about? We might go on all week.
Well, remember, we had something to talk about with the previous episode, and that ended
four
up being like 10 episodes. Hours.
That's why we don't plan. Well, I don't plan anyways.
So as we say every week, kids, the comic we like the least, we still like better than the comic you like the most. Joe?
Why can the theme parks get a clear picture of you on a roller coaster at 70 miles per hour, but bank cameras can't get a clear shot of a robber standing still? Somebody call my mama. Hit my music. I feel like dancing.
I'm the greatest. 1, 2, 3.